Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
And that's it. Anderson's come from two sets down to dethrone the great Roger Federer.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
To center, deep. Pilar back to the infield.
Thinking, okay, Danny can go back and tag up and go to third. That'll get him over. He did better than that.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wilson Pivarich, give him the space and time to play this in. Walker able to stab it up in the air. Trippier out duel by Parrish. Mandzukic got there and scores! Mario Mandzukic! Croatia take the lead in extra time in the World Cup semifinal.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
It is 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Editor Johnson, in with you on this Thursday afternoon. A scorcher today, 94, 95 degrees.
Woo.
And it doesn't matter because Kylie Jenner's a billionaire.
Nothing matters anymore. She's a billion. Doesn't that like put things into perspective for you? Like, I feel good about what I've accomplished in life. And then you see a magazine cover.
You see that? Did you see this?
I did. Kylie Jenner is a billionaire.
So, you know, Kylie Jenner of Bruce and Kris Jenner fame, now Caitlyn Jenner.
I also love that somebody known for their physical appearance and they just use a picture of her face for the cover. They went like business attire, tied up hair.
Yeah, so she had a thing that went kind of viral the other day. That somebody made a comment about her lips. Because she's actually the one, if you watch any semblance of that show, and I'm sorry, but my wife did when we were dating.
Yeah, she's into it a little bit.
She was kind of the bleh one. She was...
more so than Chloe?
Well, Chloe was just bigger. She was like cousin it.
Okay, okay.
And then she had a lot of work done and became super famous for suddenly looking like the perfect body. And somebody had noticed like the lips weren't as big. She's like, I took the fillers out.
Oh, she had lip fillers and she got rid of them, huh? She's going all natural now?
She's going all natural now.
She's taking out the butt implants and up tops implants.
I bet you it was her idea to do the cover the way they did. Where she's wearing a woman's business suit.
Let's keep it professional.
Right. I'm not going to sit here in thong underwear and take a picture.
Yeah, that was a controversy that I noticed of like, really, you're not going to use a naked picture, basically, like you usually use for covers like this. That cracked me up. But also the tagline of self-made. What am I missing here? How is she a self-made billionaire?
I think you can separate this. So she's not entirely self-made. That's ridiculous.
Well, of course she's not. If she's born into another family and looks exactly the same, she's not a millionaire.
Right. Well, she's born into that family.
She's an Instagram model, maybe at best, if she's just a random chick.
So it says she's 21 years old right now. That show, I think, started in 2005?
Yeah, that thing started when she was like 8 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, you do the math.
It?
I mean, my math is probably off on that.
Whatever it is. She was a child. She was a child when those cameras started coming into her house. And the reason they were there is because her sister did a sex tape.
Exactly.
So were you self-made?
No.
You weren't. But this is what I've said about them.
Oh,
I know
no.
They're not well-liked.
Oh, no. Well, you are a Kanye fan, so let's hear your hot take of the day on the Kardashians, too.
I'm not big on Kanye.
Well, you want to support them?
No, you have to acknowledge this part. They have done things to continue their success and celebrity to the point where they have absolutely cashed in on it.
They have capitalized perfectly on the...
There's a skill set to that.
The shallowness of America.
Right.
Right.
But that's not their fault. America's so damn shallow.
Yeah.
Right? So like this, I don't like the self-made thing. I think that's dumb.
That's ridiculous.
But nobody else in that family is worth a billion. I think Kim is the highest valuation on that family outside of her, and she's worth like $300 million.
See, now, how is that possible? Like, somebody's texting in. She apparently has a makeup line.
She has a cosmetic line. That's why.
That made her an extra $700 million because you just said Kim's only worth $300.
Well, because you got to think about it. Her sister is the other Jenner sister. She's worth like $20. So she'd more realistically go from 20 to a billion.
Okay.
Because nobody's going to hit on the Kim level.
Right. Nobody's ever going to get that big.
So I guess her cosmetic line, because I was reading a little blurb about it, because I saw this article, my jaw dropped like, what? She's going to be a billionaire. The cosmetic line, I guess, sells out everywhere. She does a great job with her social media on it. I don't know. It is what it is. People buy that crap.
At least your wife grew out of that stage.
She wasn't like.
No, I know.
Obsessed,
I know.
But she just liked the trash part of the TV show.
You watch it. It's addictive television. There's no doubt. I think we all enjoy our certain elements of reality TV.
I grew out of Jersey Shore. I didn't watch the new ones.
I used to be that way with the. You guys used to watch. I know Swigart didn't, but you used to watch the challenge shows on MTV.
I never got into those.
See, that was always my stupid guilty pleasure reality TV show. The Real World.
I used to watch the Real World. Back I stopped in the day. By Vegas was probably the year I was like, yeah, this is dumb.
Yeah,
now.
And then you kind of outgrow it a little bit. And the challenge ones used to be fun. The stupid drama that would come with it, and then it just it jumps the shark a little bit, so you move on in your life. I will say. The only thing that ropes me in on the Kardashians is the toilet time when you're scrolling on Instagram, because there's nothing else to do on the toilet nowadays. So you just kind of waste time on your phone, depending on how long you're on there. And so you go through like the search aspect of it, and there's always pictures of them that pop up in that category for me. I can't not click. It's a guaranteed click. I haven't watched that TV show in forever. Picture of one of them. You know, because if you click the search thing, it just all the random pictures pop up and you can just kind of scroll through it. And there's always one of them and I have to click it.
See, that's my thing, though, is like I can understand that, you know, what's their talent? Well, they can't sing. They can't act. And they're just known for having cameras around them.
Yeah.
But you can't say they have no talent.
They have no talent.
No, that's not true.
They have no talent.
Dude, you can't.
What's their talent? Name me their talent.
Name me anybody, a reality star, that's been able to cash in on having a show. What happened to any of those Hills broads? Don't know where any of them are. One had to marry Jay Cutler to stay relevant.
She's now on TV again.
She ain't worth $1 billion.
Boom goes the dynamite.
I'm just saying, man, it's not like it's the greatest skill. And I get it. Like, I get everything that is a turnoff factor about that show.
I don't know if I would label that a talent, though.
She made herself a billionaire.
Because we're stupid.
Well, but that's not her fault, though. We're also stupid enough to watch sports so much. These athletes get paid $300 million contracts.
They have a skill.
Is it worth $300 million?
They are professional athletes.
Okay, and on the flip side of that, younger women, older women, and teenagers would tell you that she has a skill. She makes really good makeup.
She doesn't make it.
Well,
she's not in the lab putting together the chemicals, coming up with the compounds for something to put on your face.
I'm just saying, I think it's easy
to
knock
somebody. She has people.
I
want my makeup to look like that.
Sure.
And then they go make her makeup.
Sure.
That doesn't take a skill or a talent. I could do that right now.
Well,
you know what kind of clothes I would like? Let's make t-shirts that look like that. Hey, people, go make my t-shirts.
It takes a skill to keep the following and get people and convince them to buy your product, though.
Yeah. There's an aspect of salesmanship I'll give you.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But that's a skill.
Yeah.
Half our building is in that skill.
Yeah, but it's harder to sell us than it is to sell a big butt.
Dude, nobody wants to buy us.
Right? You know, that's a tough one.
That's why the salesman extraordinaires in this building get paid the way they do. When they make a sale, it's like, wow, here we go.
Yeah, their talent is their physical appearance. I give them that.
Well, that's what I, yes and no. I get it, and
Sprague,
I also
noted Kardashian
it.
And Kanye West defender.
I'm not defending
noted.
I'm not defending Kanye. I'm not defending Kardashian. I'm just simply saying this Jenner girl made herself $1 billion. We at least have to acknowledge how many people have been put in front of a camera, and then you don't hear about them ever again. She could never be on TV again with social media and the thing that she has built up. It doesn't matter. She's made herself a billionaire.
Yeah, no talent.
Yeah, I think you're just a hater, dude. I really do. All right. I don't even know. I want to know what the text line is saying right now. The Better You Today text line at 55305. Let's get to what's on tap for today's show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right. There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
Someone says Lauren Conrad from the Hills is worth $25 million and she has a clothing line.
Yeah, suck on that, Sprague.
Also said, I'm embarrassed to know this. Why? Yeah, why are we embarrassed by stuff like this? We love dirt. We love gossip. Yeah, we occasionally go to those websites.
Yeah, I love dirt too, but we shouldn't care.
I'm not saying I
That's
do care.
That's the reality.
It doesn't make or break my day.
No. No, not you. But people care. We should.
Yeah, I guess. By the way, I love this. Shut the bleep up about the Kardashians. No one cares, Sounder, please. We'll drop it for you. Enough people cared, though, to make her a billionaire. I'm just going to point that out.
You know, I'm concerned about you, man. You defend
what?
Kanye, you defend the Kardashians, and you
why
defend...
Why do you keep bringing Kanye West into this? I haven't said Kanye's name once.
Yeah, and it's fun. You also defend Neil O'Shea. I'm worried about you, man.
Oh, God.
I'm worried about the roads you're going down.
My bad for bringing realistic perspective to this show. We got a good one today. This writer for MMQB wrote an article about college football and NFL football. And he admits that he, although he is an NFL writer, it's not even close which game is better. And I have a feeling a lot of people in this region are going to really disagree. So we'll talk about that today. There's a minor league baseball team that has come up with a hell of a promotion. And it's right up a lot of listeners' alleys. And I love what they're doing with it. We'll tell you what that is. We like a good minor league promotion night.
This one's getting people riled up. The what? Responses to this promotion.
The promotion,
people
yeah.
People are hot and bothered by this.
Well, that's why I love it. It's perfect. Now they know they're going to sell it out.
I also
people
want,
are talking about the team.
Yeah, I also want to ask, could you get away with doing it with any other genre of people?
No.
You couldn't?
Oh, yeah, you could.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, you could.
Okay.
One other genre. It's too bad it's not a skill to create something that people talk about, though. So we'll talk about that. Tom Verducci wrote a really good article on SI about Mike Trout and how nobody's paying attention, enough attention to Mike Trout. And I got my two cents on Mike Trout, but that led us into the vortex of wasted careers for athletes because he's only been to the postseason twice and done nothing.
Yeah, this debate derailed about an hour of pre-show work for us.
It did. It was fun.
Trying to come up with names, who's had talent wasted, all sorts of qualifiers that go into it.
So we'll get to that at 1 o'clock. Cliff Kingsbury did an interview, and a couple things stood out for us that we enjoy because they're just very Cliff Kingsbury-like. So we'll bring that to you. Tony Romo gives his Super Bowl prediction. Curious if people agree with him. Brandon Roy was on a Throwback Thursday video today. This kind of led to another poll question at Dirt and Sprague. Basically, which player have you enjoyed watching more, Brandon Roy or Damian Lillard? We might hop into that one. We've got Swags Plums. And Charles Oakley got caught cheating in Vegas. He sprayed the line too hard.
That he did.
And he might go to jail for 1 to 6 years.
Although, has anybody not had the temptation to do what he did?
I've wanted to do it three different times.
At some point or another in Vegas.
The last time I
gambled. No, give it back, give it back.
Have you not watched Casino?
You can't do that.
They don't like it when you do that.
You can't do that.
No, they don't. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. And we'll start with the article from Sports Illustrated, which basically states NFL annihilates college football. We'll explain more next. Dirt and Sprague with you on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 1219 on The Fan. Loaded show today. Let's get to our Coors Light poll questions of the day at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Brought to you, obviously, by our friends at Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. It's frost brewed, or the mountains blue. Don't forget to download the Coors Light Rewards XP app. I am almost there of getting Oregon State football tickets.
Ooh, nice.
I've been redeeming.
How many points? Does it take like 4 points to get some of those? Or
Just read Sorry. The damn questions.
Sorry.
Jerk.
Hey. That was uncalled for.
He teed that one up. I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's okay. It's the second time that was said to me.
My goodness.
He stole the joke from a coworker of ours. It's okay.
That I did. A coworker used that one off the air.
I already dropped my dime on the tickets for Ohio State. So.
Okay. We got some good hot take poll questions today. These are going to get people riled up.
I was telling Dirt, based on the reaction that I just got eviscerated, by the way, at the Better You Today text line.
Well, rightfully so. You defended the Kardashians.
I feel like today's show, and I don't think we came into work thinking it. It might end up being kind of a hot takery show today.
Yeah, it's like do the right thing. You know, it's hot outside. Everybody's kind of got their animosity built up.
Let's just do it. Yeah. Let's do a bring back a let it go day.
Should we get to? I can find the Frozen. I'm sure it's still in there somewhere.
Here are our poll questions, and no, none of them have to do with the Kardashians. What current athlete is having the prime of their career wasted the most by their organization? This has got people fired up for different reasons, but the four options that we came up with: Mike Trout, Damian Lillard, Larry Fitzgerald, or Anthony Davis.
Mm.
So for different reasons, people poked holes in that one, but it's creating a fun discussion. What player, this is courtesy of Slam Online for putting the Brandon Roy video up. It got us thinking, what player did or do you enjoy watching more, Damian Lillard or Brandon Roy? And what else do we got here? The Montgomery Biscuits are holding a Millennial Night promotion.
Such a good name.
Isn't that a great name? So here's what they're doing. Millennial Night's going to be a week from Saturday. They're giving away participation ribbons for showing up to the game. They're going to have napping and selfie stations for fans. And they're going to have a lot of avocados on hand. So is this, are you offended? It's hilarious or pretty dumb. And then the last one, taking your rooting interests and allegiances out of the equation. What sport is more entertaining? College football or the NFL?
This one, I feel like a lot of people are not going to be able to do, because when you talk college football, there's an emotional meaning for most people in our area.
Absolutely.
And the NFL, there's a lot of NFL fans here too, but it's just different, the feel. If you can take that out, I'd actually be stunned if you voted one way versus the other.
We have the most reactions we've gotten on that. People say there's no way you can vote one side or the other. You can't do it. It has to be college football or it has to be the NFL.
Oh, yeah. That's my point, though. If you can take the emotions out, I would be stunned if you voted for this over that. And so we'll revisit those Coors Light poll questions of the day later on in the show. Let's get to this. Andy Benoit is a writer for Sports Illustrated and the MMQB. He's a longtime NFL writer. And he wrote an article talking about college football in the NFL, titled NFL and College Football Are Not the Same Game. Thanks, Tips. Didn't know that. But he wrote this. It's a little lengthy, so I'm going to read it real quick. This is from him. I realize many fans watch football mainly for the glitzy presentation. They love the pageantry of football, the tradition, the sense of community. Most people say that in this regard, college beats pro. To those people, I say, you're right. In fact, it's really not that close. But there are those of us who like football's pageantry but love its strategy. We see the game as a chess match, only where everyone's pieces are not the same. Those pieces are not confined to individual squares. They move not one at a time but all at once, and that movement usually doesn't stop until someone scores or gets hit. From a strategic entertainment standpoint, pro football annihilates college football. And then he goes on to give you all the reasons why.
How about that hot take? No strategy in college football, huh?
Well, it gets annihilated by the NFL strategy.
Well, I don't know if annihilated is the right word, because you're making it seem like college football, you just go snap it, you throw it around, and there's no game plan involved, or there's no strategy in terms of how you poke holes in the defense. You lose me there. Is there more strategy involved in the NFL game? Yeah, probably. Is the NFL a more polished and better product? Sure. I mean, you're talking about the best players in the world. You're never going to be able to do that in a sport the same way you can't do it with college basketball or the NBA. It's a much different game. And only 1-2% of those guys that play college football go on to play in the NFL. And that's why it's the elite of the elite. So I understand those arguments, but I don't like downplaying the strategy that goes into college football. And I think it's a unique sport where you can come up with an offensive style or kind of a way to build a program that can cut into, I guess, shortcomings that you might have. In the NFL, to me, that's a lot more difficult to do. You know, there's programs like Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame. They have built-in advantages that is always going to keep them relevant. And as long as you have a good head coach, they're going to win. But in a sport like college football, you can find the right head coach with the creative enough offensive kind of system that recruits players to fit his system and that can cut into that kind of stuff. And the prime example of this I can think of is a guy like Chip Kelly in Oregon, where you go back and you look at the recruiting rankings and it wasn't always a top five or top six class. You weren't always getting the best players in the country.
I think the highest he had was 12.
Right. I mean, you went to a national championship game with Darren Thomas, who couldn't hack it in the Arena League. You went to a Rose Bowl with Jeremiah Masoli, who's playing in the Canadian Football League. I mean, those are some of the guys that you had leading your offense, yet you still were able to be one of the best programs in the country for a number of years there, because you had an offensive set and you went out and you found guys to fit your set and you found an advantage over other teams. And I don't know if you could do that in the NFL.
Here's a couple of the reasons why. I'm not going to get into detail why. You're just going to have to try to piece that together. I'll tweet this out with the show page at Dirt and Sprague during the commercial break. We'll start with this one, the width of the field. He said that's the granddaddy issue of them all, and just the different sizes. Overtime format. This is an interesting one. This is kind of a hot take. He says this one doesn't really need explaining, does it? In NFL overtime, you keep playing football. In college, you play red zone ball. Imagine if the NBA instituted half-court only rules for its overtime.
That's stupid.
I think he would lose that argument.
College
easily.
Football hits the overtime out of the ballpark as opposed to the NFL.
Love college football overtime. The other one, feet inbounds for a catch. He hates that it's one. Should easily be two. Length of game. Jersey numbers. That one's actually kind of funny to read. Number of players on a roster. Number of teams, career lengths are the reasons. And then he explains each and every one of those reasons. There has since been an article written by Andy Staples, a coworker of his at SI, college football guy, basically disagreeing with that.
We have battling columns right now, huh?
It was probably a fun idea by them to, hey, I'm an NFL guy. I don't like college football. He says, in fact, you take away him keying in on a couple NFL pre-draft project players, he has watched zero college football games for the last 6 years. Zero. That's amazing to me. How can you love football and not watch any college football ever?
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't get that either. Even if you love the NFL substantially more.
Sure.
I love the NBA.
Right.
Galaxies more than college basketball. I'll still watch a few games a year.
Absolutely. And if you wanted to make this argument about college sports, it would be NBA to college basketball. If you watch enough NBA, it can make the college product just look atrocious and brutal. So I would understand that argument. Like, hey, the NBA is way better. I don't know how anybody watches college basketball. And outside of March Madness, there's a lot of people that don't really pay attention to this sport. In college football, you don't have that at all.
Yeah. So we'll read some thoughts. What do you think about this? The Better You Today text line is 55305. I'll give my thoughts. As Andy Benoit says, the NFL, from an entertainment strategic standpoint, annihilates college football. We'll visit this again next, but first, Swag with a sports update. All right, a lot of thoughts coming in on this one. As Andy Benoit suggests, the NFL annihilates college football from a strategic standpoint. My one problem before I give you my opinion between those two. The problem I have with that thinking, you can give me side reasons like field size and overtime, all that, whatever. Like, if you're talking pure strategy, how much has the NFL taken from college?
It's going in that direction, that's for
right?
sure.
Like, you're seeing more and more systems that are fitting quarterbacks to make them more ready. You're seeing more up-tempo. You're seeing things that college is doing 4 or 5 years ago, and then the NFL now starts to implement.
And 4 or 5 years ago, they would tell you, you can't do it. You can't get a quarterback. You can't run an offense like that. And now a lot of teams are going that direction.
I mean, hell, who did Bill Belichick want to talk to?
Sure.
Chip Kelly while he was at Oregon.
Mm-hmm. How do we get a little more up-tempo? How do we go no huddle? How do we speed things up?
And I know they run different systems because Brady can't run, but they are very up-tempo, shotgun. Like, they mix it up and they make it a little different. They make it a little their own. But I don't like using that. Like, strategy, college football uses a lot of strategy the NFL ends up adopting because they feel it's easier to, you know, get the players more adapted to the NFL life from where they were in college. But if you're talking, if you can take our poll question and you separate the emotion, because we had one listener that tweeted us, Tyler, and I see his point, but I think if you take the emotion out of what you have for your team, Washington State, Oregon State, whoever, you take that out of it, this isn't even a close competition to me. It's NFL. I love college football. I'm not going to go his route and I don't watch it. I love college football. I love to get to talk about college football. But when you compare it, you are talking about the top 1% of college football on the next level. You are talking, you know, all-world quarterbacks that we just, some of the guys, we didn't really see any of that in college. Mm-hmm. And then some other guys, you go, oh, I can't wait. And boom, he ends up being exactly what you thought he would be. And I just think the speed of the game, the physicality, it's all at another level that's the top. And it's kind of, it's the exact same reason why I much prefer NBA basketball to college basketball. I know more people would probably go that route in that sport.
For sure.
But it's the same reasons. It's the top 1% of that, and the athleticism, the speed, all of it, just on another level. You add emotions to it, and I easily understand why so many people would prefer college. But you take that out, the playoff is fun, Dirt. But for my team, Oregon State, who's probably never going to be in that conversation, if you have a 5-win season, did you really enjoy that versus the NFL and what they give you?
Well, I mean, you could do that with the NFL. I mean, if your team goes 6-10 in the NFL, do you enjoy it?
I do. You go 5-11. Every other team, there's just a level of talent with every other team, even the crappiest of ones, that college can lose out on.
Well, and I think if you're, when you're asking a question like this, it comes down to semantics for me. If you're answering the question with what is the better product, the NFL is the better product.
That's basically right. What I would say, too.
But I think if you use the words like entertainment, what is a more entertaining product? Mm-hmm. That's when I can lean towards college football. And I think when you look at the regular season, every fan base is good. And this is obviously, you're trying to take the fan base argument out of it. But in college football, every single week of the regular season has so much importance riding on it. And I think that's something that has to be added to the equation.
There's a lot
of programs that don't have that.
And
I get that.
Say, how many teams does that truly apply to?
Well, and there's a lot of NFL teams that you're fighting for a playoff spot all year. In the last 7-8 weeks of the season, your season's technically on the line because you can't lose a game like that.
And you get more teams in the playoff, too. So even if you have a hiccup for 5 weeks, you still have that shot to run the table.
But and that's where I think if you take that fandom out of it and you're just turning on a game on a Saturday, every single week there are basically elimination games for the college football playoff. Almost every week. You're going to have a couple of duds where you look and there's like no high-ranked team playing another high-ranked team. But even in those kind of weeks, you can have a big upset and that team's eliminated from the conversation. So if you are taking that fandom out of it, Oregon's not going to have that this year. Oregon State's not going to have that this year. We get it. But every single week when you turn on, you could see a top five team lose and have their season ended. You know, if in the NFL in week 9, if the Browns beat the Patriots and they shock the NFL, how did that happen? The Patriots are still going to go 13-3, 12-4. They're still going to be the number one seed in the AFC and probably win the AFC again this year. That's part of it with college football. It's not a better product by any means, but the week in and week out entertainment of what can happen, the craziness that can follow, that ties it in a little bit for me.
But see, here's the unfortunate part, because I don't think you're all the way wrong. The only thing I would say is let's take last season just as an example. I know it doesn't happen every year. Bama's last game of the year, they lost to Auburn.
They did, and they shouldn't have been in the playoff.
And it didn't matter. Sure. They made the playoff anyway. Mm-hmm. So to the point of the NFL where you could lose in week 4 to a garbage team, people go, wow, the Steelers lost to the Browns or the Bears or whoever.
Right, right.
Yeah, that doesn't have to derail the whole season. But in college, because of how supremely talented the top half teams are, they most of the time can still afford a loss. You'll have some seasons where it boils down and maybe you get 2 or 3 teams with one loss that are right on that edge of which team should get it. That's entertaining and fun. But Alabama's the world have shown both going undefeated and then even losing a game at probably the worst juncture of your season is the end.
Right.
Still doesn't matter. You'll still find a way to make it. Because you're not going to have any reasonable hiccups along the way outside of 2 games.
Yeah, there's very little parity in college football. And I that's the tough part about it. It still does add in the craziness of upsets, and you don't necessarily have that aspect in the NFL. And you know, we had a Thought of the Better You Today text line from people in Dustin who kind of chimed in with the offensive argument I was trying to make last segment. And I thought he did a good point of highlighting it where he said, let me pull this up. He said, I can make an argument the NFL is too QB-centric. If you aren't watching a franchise quarterback play in the NFL, those teams' offenses can be unwatchable, mainly because of the quarterback's ineptitude. And also how good NFL defenses are. In college, if you just have a good system, you can overcome that.
That's fair.
So, and I get that's a product kind of thing. The product in the NFL is still better, but there's part of that with NFL teams. If you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're not going to win. You're just not in the NFL, and you're not going to be an entertaining and exciting team to watch. And you're looking at almost half the league that doesn't have that. And there are college football teams. Khalil Tate is not necessarily a great quarterback. He's a great athlete.
Right.
Lamar Jackson, there's differing opinions on how good of a quarterback he is. He's a phenomenal athlete, and he fits the system where you can come up with creative ways to still be competitive and still be entertaining. In the NFL, if you don't have a quarterback that can throw the football efficiently, mm-hmm. you are screwed and you are going to be boring to watch.
Let me give some station credit here, because I got out of the gym yesterday after the show, and I turn on 1080, and I'm listening to the Sooks of Hazzard. And I never thought about this till they talked about it. Now, I think there's more in play than maybe they gave credit, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think they made a really good point. Surveil the current landscape of the NFL. How many teams don't have... I meant survey. Sorry, Swigart. Don't give me... Where's the buzzer, by the way?
What did you say?
Just give me dumb looks now. Where's the buzzer? I said surveil.
Surveil?
Yeah, whatever. How many teams in the NFL...
I like that. That's good. We should use that.
Hey, surveil it. How many teams in the NFL...
Okay.
Would you say right now, today, don't have a franchise quarterback? Now, I know it's easy to go, well, sure. Andy Dalton's not one. I'm with you there.
He's
you
not.
Have those.
Yeah.
But the NFC East all have them. The NFC North all have them.
Well.
Who?
I mean,
who?
Eli Manning, is he still a franchise quarterback?
Pat Shurmur loves him.
Sure he does. I don't know if I'd still count that as a franchise
they
quarterback.
They didn't draft a quarterback. They were number two. They could have drafted one. They didn't.
That's a different conversation. They probably should have.
Right, but this is the difference, though. I can identify some of these guys are not going to be long-term franchise, right? Eli in 6 years will not be the quarterback. But right now, today, everybody in the NFC has one. NFC East, excuse me. The NFC North, they do.
Well, you're already putting Trubisky as a franchise. Just because he's a rookie, he's a franchise quarterback?
They jumped up the draft and they
that doesn't
they
mean
took
he's
him.
A franchise quarterback. What if he sucks this year? They could cut him.
They're gonna do that?
The guys give up on quarterbacks all the time after 2 or 3 years.
So you don't think the Bears think they don't have a franchise quarterback?
If
right
they
now?
Go 4-12 this year and he looks terrible,
well, that's a big if though. I'm talking about right now the way teams view their quarterback position.
Well, that's a different conversation though. How many guys are franchise and how many teams view that they have a franchise are different.
Is Bear fan today waking up going, oh well, Trubisky's gonna suck, or are they thinking, man, Jared Goff year two took a huge step with the right coach?
It's probably a mixture of opinions.
Okay, so NFC North to me, I think all those teams think
he threw
they have
seven
one.
Touchdowns last year.
I know
year.
He wasn't great statistically. He had a bad year.
Yeah, we're gonna disagree on some of these ones.
NFC North, I think they all have one. NFC South, everybody but Tampa, and that's maybe a question mark in itself because if Jameis can come back and keep his head on straight,
yeah, I think Jameis is more of a franchise quarterback than Trubisky.
That's fine. I think from a skill level, it's hard to argue that. But right now, the Bears are feeling good. The NFC West, they just drafted Rosen. The Rams have Goff. The Niners signed Jimmy G, and Seattle has Russell Wilson. So you look just in the NFC, you only disagree with two. Maybe three if you throw Tampa in
see,
there.
See, and here, this is, I think there's a difference between what the franchise thinks they have and what they actually are. Because I'm not willing as a rookie quarterback to say you have your franchise guy. Rookie quarterbacks flame out at what a 60 or not rookie quarterbacks, but drafted quarterbacks flame out at what a 60% rate.
It might be.
I mean,
higher,
how many of these guys
know.
End up being actually great? So you can't look at, okay, five teams selected a quarterback in the first round. They all have their franchise guy.
Well, but
when you play the odds, two of the five likely will end up making it and having good careers.
Right. But if you're projecting for the future, I'm just going back to the texter's point of quarterbacks.
Sure.
Cause I don't think he's wrong, but if you're just looking at the NFL, a lot of teams think they've either identified who that person is or they have them right now.
See, and yeah, and if you want to play it in that regard, then yes, almost every NFL team feels like they have a franchise quarterback.
There's probably four or five teams in the whole league that feel like we're probably not going to have this guy.
But if you're asking the general NFL fan, does that team have their franchise quarterback that they can play around for the next, say, 7, 8, 9 years? I think you're looking at the Bills don't have it, the Dolphins don't have it, the Jets don't have it, the Ravens don't have it, the Bengals don't have it, the Browns, Let's see here.
Well, but the Browns have Baker
Sure, they
Mayfield.
Drafted Baker Mayfield. I would still say the Giants. I would say the Bears. So I you're looking at a higher list of teams that are they think they have their guy. They maybe feel confident they have their guy, but right. they don't know that they have their guy.
Right. Whereas you have some years sure. you get the Josh McCowns of the world, and he may start for the Jets,
mm-hmm.
but you have the Josh McCowns of the world come in, Brian Hoyer for the Texans. We know what that is, right? We know, oh, okay, here we go. And by the way, we thought about that Case Keenum last year when he had to come in from Minnesota, end up getting himself a contract. And
he did.
Denver is kind of one of those teams. Is Case Keenum a franchise guy or et cetera? I think it adds to this conversation the difference based on that text from the listener of college. There's no doubt the system can overcome a bad quarterback. But I think the NFL, there's a lot more teams that have identified franchise guys and their opinions right now than maybe 3 years ago.
Sure. And again, if you get back to the entertaining question,
right.
how many of those teams will still be entertaining to watch?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
Is the Browns offense going to be entertaining? They might feel like they have their franchise guy. That's not going to yeah. be a fun offense to watch.
Probably not. Probably not. All right. Let's read some thoughts at the Better You Today text line on this topic. And then also just one of the better minor league baseball ideas we've seen in a while. We'll bring it to you next on The Fan. By the way, clear it up. A couple listeners had texted in because I jumped into the middle of that conversation with them. I guess it's centered around franchises that are in positions right now where they're not really looking for need at quarterback.
Yeah. And that the vast majority of the NFL is in that position.
They either have a rookie on a great deal or yeah. they have, you know, whatever.
That's also, I think you play the what if scenario of it, how does their season go? You know, I look like Cincinnati.
Cincinnati will be looking to move on if they suck. Miami will probably look to move on if they suck.
What about even some teams that feel like they've, like if Denver goes 6-11 or 5-11 again next year, are they just not, they have the fourth overall pick. They're going to pass again on taking a quarterback.
That's my point though. They're
sure.
I'm not.
There's qualifiers on some of those teams. Like right now you right. would say, yeah, Denver's not looking for a guy,
right.
but if they have a bad year, same thing with the Giants, I would put there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's four or five teams.
Tampa, you know, if they have a bad year and Jameis is still a headache, it's like, ah, what the hell? Let's go draft a new guy.
By the way, Bears fan told you to suck it.
Oh, did it? Bears fans excited?
While the stats aren't there because of multiple factors, I'm excited about him with the game tape
sure.
last year. Never felt that with Cutler.
Sure.
I think there's an excitement factor with a new offensive-minded coach and a young quarterback.
Yeah, there's always excitement factor with young guys. My argument, though, is I think in order to be considered a franchise quarterback, you have to have 3 or 4 years of high-level production for me to put you in that category.
I know.
The potential is there.
Yes.
Like, if Trubisky again sucks this year
mm-hmm.
and he throws 11 touchdowns and 17 interceptions and they go 6-10.
I don't think they'll cut him, but I think they'll start to look at it.
But are you texting in again next offseason saying, I'm excited, it's there on tape?
Well, probably not.
This stuff evaporates pretty quick in the NFL.
You know what? He's a Bears fan.
Jimmy Clausen got 1 year in Carolina. And he was so bad they got the number one pick. They sent his ass out and they took Cam Newton.
You know what? The dude had to root for Rex Grossman in a Super Bowl. Why don't you just leave him alone?
All right. Sorry. All right? Sorry.
Hey, how about this promotion? Minor league baseball teams do this all the time. We had a Joe Boo night in Jacksonville to which I emailed the team and they sent a Joe Boo bobblehead. The Montgomery Biscuits.
Yes, they are the Biscuits.
The Tampa Bay Rays AA affiliate.
The Biscuits.
Are having a Millennial Night promotion. And they're going to include participation ribbons, napping, selfie stations, and tons of avocados. This did not sit well via internet, as a lot of people got outraged by it.
Did people get triggered? Did the snowflakes get triggered by this?
Well, they did. And
Who was actually outraged?
The Millennials. I'm going to read a couple of these, and I want to say I don't know any of these humans. I think some of these people did this mainly just to throw a barb at a different generation and to be kind of jokey.
Okay.
That's just my two cents. I'm going to read these.
Okay.
One person quote tweeted their promotional tweet, coming early August, Boomer Night, where proof of a high school diploma wins you a high-paying job and arts and crafts tables will be available for you to burn down a diorama of the U.S. economy while complaining about entitlement. another person tweeted, your team name is basically a brunch item, so sounds like this is very on brand.
Yeah, you know, hey, you're the Biscuits.
Somebody else said, y'all should do a Boomer Night where the price of admission and all concessions are deferred to the patrons of the next three games. It's only those two generations that get angry about something like this, right? By the way, unfortunately, you and I are in this, dumb category.
I think it's a good way to get attention on a minor league baseball team. That's what minor league promotions are all about.
That's I think this is hitting a home run.
That's why the Portland Pickles are named the Portland Pickles.
Right.
And you didn't go with some random generic sports name. What's kind of funny? What could we put on a hat that people will talk about? Hey, let's put a pickle on there. That makes it funny. People that get offended by this kind of stuff crack me up.
Just go enjoy it.
Is there anything that we can't get offended by anymore? Like we are just looking for things to be angry about. Although I will say, in defense of some of those arguments, could you get away with doing this against another generation? Could they realistically have a baby boomer night promotion making fun of baby boomers?
Well, I would hope you could.
I don't think you could.
Why?
Because I think those people would get offended by it too.
But that's my point. Who cares who gets offended by it? This has generated more conversation than I bet you they thought would happen. Yeah. It's been picked up by every blog. Yeah. Dumb shows sure. like ours are talking about it.
Yeah.
Don't cancel it. Keep it going.
Oh, and they will.
Here's the beauty of it. People outraged are the ones that get on the internet and type with their little digits and they do nothing else. A lot of other people probably think this is hilarious.
Sure.
And are going to show up and actually go to the selfie station, eat a ton of avocado, and post a picture of their participation ribbon.
Hey, I got a ribbon for going to the game tonight.
Exactly.
I'm wondering how many, would every generation, though, get offended by their generation being made fun of? Because I think it's easy to poke at millennials, and I'm doing it right now, the people that get offended by it. But I think if you did this for almost any other generation, I think there's still people that get offended by it.
I think it's only boomers.
What's in between boomers and millennials?
That would be me. I think we're Generation X.
Okay,
the Gen
so how, what have we made fun of? Tight pants, bad hair, and what else
acid
did you guys?
Wash jeans, acid wash DeLoreans. Jeans, DeLoreans,
terrible music.
Like what else did you guys have going for you, Gen Xers? You know, I think there's Gen Xers that get offended by that.
By the way, millennials, 1981.
Yeah.
So some of you out there on your high horse, because you might be just a couple years older than us.
Making fun of millennials. You too, sir, are a millennial if you're born 1981 or after.
I didn't label it.
What is it, 81 to 04? What does it go?
No.
Not that far?
I think it's 81 to like 97.
Okay.
Which,
about a 16-year span.
Just stupid.
I've argued this many a time on the show, and people got really upset at me one time when I did, that we should, the generation should not be that spread out.
Why not? This is a good point.
Some guy got really offended by it. That's the definition. It shouldn't be. You shouldn't have 16 years spanning a generation. Somebody born in 1997 is in no way, shape, or form like somebody born in 1981.
Oh, my God. No, the 81 person's probably the parent.
Exactly.
Had him at 16. This is a really good point. Why not do a combo night with millennials and boomers?
Okay.
Because boomers were part of the problem of handing out the ribbons, right? Like millennials didn't hand themselves their own ribbons.
Yes. Well, no, that would probably be more Gen Xers giving the ribbons away.
You don't think any grandparents were like, here you go, Ted.
See, that's a good point.
A lot of people at fault for all these generations.
I didn't give myself a seventh place trophy.
No, we were
you
more cutthroat generation. We were the big first Wall Street explosion of...
It would be hilarious if you walked into this promotional night and you instantly racked up $20,000 in debt for deciding to do it because you thought it would better your life. I can identify with that part.
Guilty.
All right. We have a loaded second hour. A lot of things to get to.
We just ruined somebody's day who was born in 1981, by the way.
I'm sorry. You
just ruined my day, man.
It ruined my day when I found out I was a millennial.
I didn't think I was either. And then we looked at the years. Yeah, we're in there.
All right. We have a loaded second hour. We'll get to it with the Tom Verducci article. Are we not appreciating Mike Trout enough? He seems to think so. And it might lead us on a path of wasted careers in pro sports. All that is next. Dirt and Sprague back with more on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.